unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, when you were in school, or if you are in school now, for one reason or another, you have not always been comfortable with your assignments. Maybe at times you felt unprepared to complete a certain assignment due to a lack of knowledge or failure to prepare. Maybe you felt incapable of completing the assignment because it seemed to be way over your head, as we say. Then, too, maybe you just did not feel like doing it. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave to his disciples and to the church unto the end of time this assignment: you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How do we carry out this great assignment given to the church by our Lord? This morning, we can learn from one of our Lord's disciples how to do it. He simply said, "Nathanael, come and see." Our text is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Who invited whom? By inviting Nathanael to come and see Jesus, Philip shows us how to fulfill the assignment that Jesus has given to his church. Several days before the incident recorded in our text, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and John said to his followers, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then John went out and told his followers that Jesus was the one of whom he had been preaching in the wilderness, and that he had baptized Jesus, and that Jesus is the Son of God. The next day, John the Baptist was with two of his followers again. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he identified him again with the words, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Then those two disciples or followers of John the Baptist quit following him, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned around, saw them following him, and asked them what they wanted. They asked Jesus, "Where are you living or dwelling?" Jesus said, "Come and see." While Jesus never owned a home, they spent that evening together wherever it was. One of those two disciples was Andrew, who became a disciple of Jesus. Then Andrew went out and found his brother Simon, who also was called Peter, and whom Jesus earlier named Cephas. And Andrew brought him to Jesus. The following day, Jesus was on his way to Galilee, and he met Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from the same hometown as Andrew and Peter, namely Bethsaida. Thus, Philip was a newcomer to Christianity. Immediately, Philip went out and found a man by the name of Nathanael. We really do not know very much about Nathanael, other than the incident recorded in our text. There is only one other reference in the Bible to Nathanael, and that is at the end of the Gospel according to St. John, where Nathanael is mentioned with Peter and some of the other disciples who were going fishing. Some Bible scholars think that Nathanael was Philip's brother. Maybe, maybe not. Others think that Nathanael is another name for Bartholomew, who became one of the 12 disciples. We really do not know, and it is not that important. The whole point of our text and the context in which it is recorded is a picture of the fulfillment of what we might make our logo, each one reach one. However, it did not end with just one being reached, for each one reached another one, and it mushroomed, as we say. This reveals to us that in the whole work of the church, in carrying out the assignment of our risen Lord, there is no substitute for this one-on-one contact and witnessing one to another. There is no substitute for personal eye-to-eye contact with other people. Indeed, we are hesitant at times to carry out our Lord's assignment to witness to one another. Maybe we feel that we will be embarrassed or turned down or whatever. But we are encouraged to witness when we remember that the Holy Spirit is always there with us, actively working through the Word of God as it is read or spoken. When we speak God's Word, it is Jesus inviting and calling through us. We should remember that the results of our inviting and witnessing are the work of the Lord. We sow the seed, making it take root and grow and bring forth fruit is God's business. In his letter to the Corinthian congregation, the Apostle Paul emphasizes this very point. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We sow the seed, and God makes it grow." That is how it has always been. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The word of God always works. As we consider another aspect of who invited whom, it is important to note where they began. They began by talking to the people whom they knew, their own families and friends. In his assignment to the church, Jesus indicated that it was to be that way. "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We start at home, and then we reach out farther and farther to others. Having considered who invited whom, we now ask, what were they invited to do? We have a very clear example and answer from all of those mentioned in our text. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then he spoke of Jesus as the man coming after him, but who is preferred before him. And he called Jesus the Son of God. Jesus was called the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, and who has taken away the sin of the world. Andrew told his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. Obviously, Andrew was one of the people who was waiting for the promised Messiah and Savior of the world. He was a believing child of God, trusting that the promise of God was fulfilled in Jesus. Simon Peter is the disciple who gave the beautiful confession of faith at a later time when Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Philip told Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets have written, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He identified Jesus as that promised Savior of whom Moses and all the Old Testament prophets had written. Then he identified that divine one as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Indeed, Jesus was the son of the Virgin Mary, Joseph's wife, but Joseph was not his father. Therefore, the Jews spoke of Jesus in those words and identified him as belonging to that family. Again, we see that Philip spoke of Jesus as being God and man in one person. That's how all of them recognized Jesus, as the Savior who was promised by Moses and all of the prophets of the Old Testament. In the book of Acts, the author writes, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." As children of the Heavenly Father, that is how you and I are called upon to carry out the assignment Christ has given us and to witness for him as the only Savior for sinners. It is not difficult to see sin and the consequences of sin all around us. Just look around in this world. Every day, the headlines in all the media are horrifying. The daily headlines report the many places throughout the world where America is involved in wars. In state after state and city after city, from coast to coast, there are reports of crime and corruption, of killings and brutality, of lying and lovelessness, of anger and hatred, and the list goes on and on. You can take off from any of those topics and tell people it is quite clear that we need a Savior, and God has given us a Savior. God has revealed this in his holy word, and he has established the Christian church where we hear and learn about the Savior. In witnessing for the Savior, do we have to make it complicated? No. There is the simple invitation, come and see. Come and see what we believe, teach, and confess. We are just common, ordinary, down-to-earth people who come together to worship the one and only true God. We hear of how greatly God has loved us. It is summarized in that one simple verse in Scripture familiar to all of you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come and see the comfort and the strength and the hope for time and eternity that is offered to each of us in God's holy word. Just come and see. Sure, this simple invitation might be met with doubts, questions, opposition, and rejection? Philip experienced that too. When Philip told Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph," Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Note that Philip did not start an argument with him. He just said, "Come and see." When Jesus met Nathanael, he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael was a true Israelite. As such, he knew that he was a sinner. As a true Israelite, he also knew and trusted the promises of God to send a Savior. Suddenly, when he was confronted by the Savior, he wanted to be sure. He wanted to be sure that this was no hoax. It did not take long for Nathanael to learn that Jesus was who Philip said he was. Jesus revealed to Nathanael that he knew who Nathanael was long before Philip told him about Jesus and invited him to come and see. Jesus knew Nathanael when he was under the fig tree. The details are not given in the Bible as to when or where that might have been. And we are not told what he was doing under the fig tree. But it revealed to Nathanael that Jesus was the all-knowing Son of God. He said to Jesus, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He expressed his faith in Jesus as the Lord of his life and the King of his heart. That's what we have in mind when we invite someone, "Come and see." Come and see for yourself in God's holy word that Jesus is the Son of God and your Savior. Come and see that he is the promised one who suffered and died on Calvary's cross to wash our sins away, and who arose again to deliver us from sin, death, and hell. Come and see that he is the one through whom we have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of life eternal. Come and see what blessings there are for you. Thank God on bended knee that God graciously has called you. Come and see. Now through you, God wants to call others to come and see too. How about inviting someone? Come and see. Amen. We pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.